So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Now, Les, I had queued up my mic, and I knew it was way too loud because I heard a bunch of feedback. So I had to turn it down really quickly, but somebody's messing with my equipment when
I'm gone.
You're
becoming an accomplished pro.
Yes.
Well, you should not leave your equipment in the children's playroom.
No, I should not. The children shouldn't make this room the playroom.
I heard that.
So how have you been? How's your week been, Les?
Well, you know, normal with long weekends, you get days mixed up. And
oh, yeah.
I think one day is another day, and anyway, I was thinking today was Monday until just a few hours ago, so...
Yeah, you know, it feels like a Monday.
Spirit, anyway, yeah, exactly. You know, since I last did the show, a couple friends of mine have passed away. Most recently, Bull Ramos just passed away a couple days ago. He was 71.
All right.
Good guy. First worked programs with him down in the Louisiana territory in the 60s, late 60s. He got involved, and we were... Dennis Hall and Roger Kirby and I were in a deal with the Daltons for the U.S. NWA U.S. tag belts, and then they got into a six-man, the three of us against them, and it started out as Bob Dalton. He had to leave the territory, and so Bull filled in there, and I worked with him in Charlotte. Good guy. And Sam Steamboat was, I had the privilege of traveling with Sam some. When we were in the Tampa territory for Championship Wrestling from Florida, and just a real good guy. I mean, just the smiling Hawaiian, and a hell of a wrestler, too. But he passed away just about 10 days ago now, just before his 72nd birthday.
Yeah, it's been a tough week.
Yeah. But both good guys. And I guess Steve Dahl, is off the life support and out of the ICU and is going to recover. It's going to be a slow process, so...
That's great news. That's amazing.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. And Kurt Angle going to ECW.
Kurt Angle, yes. ECW all the way.
Please don't start. I don't want to hear this.
You know, I don't really understand why he's going to ECW. It's going to be less payoffs, less...
To give it another look. But see, I don't think the powers is be... understand that it's the look to begin with. It was part of the attraction. You know, it was your poorly dressed cousin. You know,
right?
Or so I don't know. You know, I can't put my finger on it. Whatever it was, but yeah, I don't. You know, it'll be interesting to watch. Because,
and
I don't know. You know, there's so many ways to look at it, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be different to maintain some shelf life and yet the same, you know. And it won't be the same because part of that image was us against the world, right? And it's not us against the world. It's just another entity under the corporate umbrella, so.
Right.
You know, it's all it, and I don't know too. It's just like, well, like, you know, with Paulie and Mick last night, I expected a real, you know, these two guys can promo, and it just never got off the ground really. And I think in part because the audience was kind of dead on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the good old days sometimes get old.
Right.
and you know, the old, what's the Thomas Wolfe, whoever said you can't go home again.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know. You know, maybe it's only destined to be a once a year, you know, hey, let's kick it up and remember the good old days type of thing. Or you know, maybe it's got some shelf life. Only time's going to tell.
Well, from what I've heard, the rumors going around is that they have signed for 12, 13 episodes to start off with.
Well, that's standard, though.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it was when I was, you know, when I was working around the industry. I mean, your top shows, well, now I shouldn't say that, probably, you know, something that's got a long run like Law & Order, maybe get a lot longer run, but initially shows are signed for 13 weeks.
Right, and Zap2It.com had an article this week talking about the Sci-Fi Channel picking up ECW. And that show is going to start, of course, on June 13th at 10 p.m. So we are going to be the lead-in to ECW from now on.
Are we cool or what?
Yes, we are cool.
Well, that is until they change. You decide to change.
They better not change it. Put it on earlier. They'll be like, we'll start at 8. I heard they were thinking about Tuesdays. When I heard that, I was like, oh, no.
Whatever. Yeah. Well, we've ran out of our backs are to the walls, ladies and gentlemen. We've run out of places to hide.
Yes. But it's interesting to note that in the article, Zap2It.com's article, it's being touted as a summer series with no long-term TV deal. So.
Well, and that's it. But now there are the occasional summer series that are picked up.
Right.
There were a couple on. I remember last year that the wife and I watched, and they were just that summer series. You know, when they were over, they were over,
mm-hmm.
and never to be seen again. You know, so it depends. I mean, that's the other thing too. It's not like this the Sci-Fi Channel is going to make or break on these guys. You know,
right?
And I honestly think this will be TNA's toughest competition. You know, I really do.
Yes.
You know, because they're shooting for that medium-range building and say what you like. Apparently, I mean, that's what, you know, well, these Hermes Sadler promoted the shows up in Virginia and North Carolina. You know, now, they've pulled some, like, four-figure houses, but more likely, I guess, from what I'm told, they're in the 600 to 900 range, which, okay, then but that kind of also dictates your coverage, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... And, of course, up in Detroit, they filled, a 3,000-seater?
Yes.
With the ICP promotion and stuff. So, you know, it's hard to say. It's something you can't call on the front end, you know.
Right.
And if you could, the people doing it would be multimillionaires.
Of course.
And they never lose a dime. You know?
I myself am not going to pass judgment or make any predictions on the success or failure of ECW until I see it.
Well, you know, it's just like, you know, everyone's ecstatic that TNA has done a 1.1 and a 1.2 back to back. Okay, get back to me next year. You know, I mean, and when I say that, you know my stance on all this. I hope there's 10 companies and everybody's making money and there's all the wrestlers that are gainfully employed and becoming wealthy.
A wrestling utopia.
Yes, exactly. You know, so it's not like I have anything for or against. I'd like to see it work. It employs people, just the same reason I'd like to see ECW work, because it's going to employ people.
Absolutely.
It's going to give some guys. Well, what you're seeing here now, too, is like when the Major League Baseball expanded, you got to realize when I was a little boy, there were 7 teams in each league.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. And pro football had like 8 teams all together, right? And there's 28 now.
Yeah.
Talking about expansion, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it also dilutes the product. If you get, you know, I mean, when I say but it gives more people a chance, too.
To see it.
Well, yeah, well, okay, let's look at baseball. God, you know, there was a time when if you said some guy had a 14-12 record, as a pitcher and a 4.7 ERA, he was being sent back to the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Today these guys are getting $9 million a sign.
Now they call him the Cubs starter.
Yeah. And I don't even understand that. You know, so it's, but again, it's going to give some guys in OVW and down in Deep South and some guys from the outside, you know, a chance to the steady paycheck. And I'm up for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting summer.
Yes, it definitely is. I'm looking forward to it. More news, World Wrestling Entertainment, of course, this week has released WWE superstar Orlando Jordan.
Yes.
They put a message up on their website and, of course, did the, we wish you all the best in your future endeavors, blah, blah, blah. But according to reports, this release was not a shock, as many within the company were expecting it, given the situation that took place on SmackDown during this past Tuesday in Bakersfield. Based on what's known, what's being reported, Jordan was originally scheduled to face Tatanka at the SmackDown tapings, but he was pulled out during a pre-show meeting and sent away from the arena. Reports state that Vince McMahon became extremely upset with Jordan for bringing an unauthorized person in the locker room and on the road with him. So this is the rumored reason why Orlando's being released.
Okay.
I don't know how it was back then, but I know these days that's quite the no-no.
Well, especially WWE. Exactly. There were territories, Charlotte being one, where you didn't take your wife to the matches, you didn't take your family.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to work.
Bill Watts was a stickler on that.
Well, there were a lot of territories that way. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't want the families. And in part, I know, because I've heard this story, is because the baby face is getting his butt handed to him and getting beat up, and he's bloody, and his wife's sitting there reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans know that is his wife, right?
Right.
And she's not reacting to, and you got to realize what we're talking about now, 30, 40 years ago, right?
Right.
Okay, when there was more people suspending their, well, it was easier to suspend their disbelief. You can still do it, but it was easier. But anyway, yeah, so that's, you know, I remember, like in Charlotte, when my mother and father came down to visit in the summer on a vacation, I went into the office and asked Mr. Crockett. I said, I just would like to take them to the matches in Charlotte, right? I don't want to haul them around the territory, but since that's where they're staying and they're going to be here for 10 days, I'd like to take them on Monday night. But I had to get authorization. And one of the questions was, can they work? Meaning, you know, will they react if you're beat up or making your comeback or whatever? And I said, yeah, okay, cool. No, but see, I mean, that was, you know,
that's
you,
a big part, yeah.
You were covering your bases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were protecting your product, that's all.
But I don't understand what that, you know, why that would be like that today. It seems more of an elitism thing of bringing an unauthorized person backstage.
Well,
with you.
You know what? I'll tell you what. when I first started training people, and WCW or WWF at the time would come through here, a couple of my students asked questions, you know, out loud that, well, why don't you take us back there? I said, because you don't have any business back there. Because it's a hectic time in preparation for TV.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's trying, you know, there's times that I've been on the other end of it when I was in, well, you know, like say when we were doing Smokey, we were doing four shows in a day. And, you know, so you got so much going on that you might walk past your brother and not acknowledge him, right? Because you got your mind somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, you know, it's a matter of you stay out of the way. And, you know, when, you know, if you see somebody's deep in conversation over something, you know, you don't walk up and interfere.
Right.
That's all. And you can't know if you don't know. So, and it's just not a, you know, and plus it's hectic enough. And there's so many people back there as it is, right?
Yeah.
You know.
Plus you don't know. And there's a couple more things that came up now that you're mentioning that. There could be the selling of ideas and or stories to the internet guys, you know, things like that.
Yeah, well, seeing all that's, yeah, that's all. Well, you know, and here's the deal. You know, there are people are selective in this. I mean, it's if you're a rock band or a symphony orchestra or whoever,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a guest list who gets backstage and there's a guest list who doesn't.
Right.
Right. And it's your workplace. And I'll tell you the truth. I've gone into some of these independent dressing rooms and I'm thinking, Jesus, there's more people in here than there are out there. You know, and half of them are their sons and daughters, next door neighbors, and the
mm-hmm.
guy who drove me. And okay, well, can't they, you know, and if it's my dressing room, they wait out there.
Right.
This is because the other part of that, Doc, is from the professional perspective, is when you come off, when you go through that curtain, you're on, right? And that takes a lot of your energy. I mean, even if you're standing still, you know, it takes a lot of your energy. And so when you come off of there, you want to be able to let down, right? If you want to pick your nose or scratch your butt or, you know what I'm saying?
Just, yeah,
you don't want, you know, be the character, and you don't need to be around people who aren't necessarily needed back there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's your private time. I know there's a deal now with the Kentucky State Athletic Commission at WWE, and that commission over there was a tough sell all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
we'll be getting into that a little bit more in detail.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've dealt with it firsthand now. The chairman or the head deputy or whatever lived right across the river here, and I, you know, and the thing of it was just, I don't know, there's the commissioner and then all his buddies and come in the dressing room and wanted to see licenses, and I said, fine. They had checked everybody's license like the first show, and so they're standing around, and I said, is there anything else I can do for you? And, well, no, we're just kind of, I said, well, do you mind then letting these guys have the dressing room to themselves? And he looked at me like I'd shot him in the foot, you know, and I said, no, this is, you know, This is where, again, they do whatever the hell they want.
It's their lounge.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. They can let their hair down and they don't have to, you know, to worry about anybody. And that's just what it should be, you know. So, I mean, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, and I could appreciate that. No, I never take anybody backstage.
This could be, this is a good segue into the story about Kentucky. WWE has been charged with 9 violations of Kentucky state law stemming from some incidents that occurred at Backlash on April 30th. The Kentucky state law prohibits usage of blood or bleeding in professional wrestling, and even in the case of accidental bleeding, the promoters are instructed to end the match immediately. What makes it interesting is that WWE was fully aware of the law. They even had a meeting, apparently, to ask for special usage of blood since it was a pay-per-view.
I think that was just correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I don't know. Well, you know, yeah, it's been pretty well documented, and it's pretty cut and dried. In truth, at the commission, here's the big thing, and this, when I say this is the normal procedure, I can't speak for every state in the union or every city, because there are cities that have licenses as well, have boxing and wrestling commissions, but most places let the big companies slide because they realize their what their fees are. Well, like Kentucky, I can tell you, is 5% off the top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you have to have a bond and mm-hmm. yearly license fee. I think is $100, but yeah, it's or whatever it is, it's a couple $100 maybe now. I don't know. I haven't had one for a while, but anyway, you know, and plus 5% of your gate.
Right.
So obviously my gate might be 300 or 400, maybe 5 or 6, and their gate's going to be 5 or 6,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's a lot more revenue.
Yeah, it's easier to let things slide. Sure.
But, well, see, there's other perks too. Now, the first time I dealt with him, so one of the things is you give the commissioner gets 10 front row seats. I said, not my show, he doesn't. You know, that's nonsense, because those are the prime seats. That's what everybody wants, and I'm going to give you 10 front row seats. I don't think so. You know, no, I mean, it's a con, man.
Right.
I mean, that has nothing to do, you know, and silly things like in our little program that you write, right, you know, that talks about your angles and stuff, right?
Right.
You know, everybody's got a – we had Patrick Black was our commissioner, and he says, you know, I'm the – I said – this is a work. He is our, you know, storyline commissioner.
Right.
But you had to announce his name, you know. Tonight's match is brought to you by blah, 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 and the Kentucky State Athletic Commission, so-and-so commissioner.
They're pretty strict in Kentucky about this.
Well,
and
you know who you have to thank for that?
Yes, I do.
Your good friend and hero.
Ian run.
Yes, exactly.
Of IWA Mid-South. That all started back in 90.
John is a heat magnet. It ain't all in the ring, brother.
That all started back in 93, 94, I believe,
yeah.
When
IWA
Mid-South was having hardcore matches in Kentucky, and they really got down on him about that. He was basically run out of the state. He doesn't run in Kentucky anymore at all. He's running Indiana, Illinois, those things. And Kentucky has been strict with those laws still on everybody who tries to run in that state. Here are the 9 violations that the state of Kentucky says WWE were in violation of during the pay-per-view backlash. Number one, during the Vince and Shane McMahon versus Shawn Michaels match, Michaels intentionally cut himself in violation of state law. Number two, in the same match, Vince McMahon continued the match instead of halting the action as required by state law. Number three, Shane McMahon continued the match instead of ending it as required by state law.
All I can say at this point with my sarcastic sense of humor is thank God it wasn't a battle royal.
Yes.
Then it would have been 20 violations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It goes on. During number four, during the Triple H versus Edge versus John Cena match, Triple H intentionally cut himself, violating state law. Number five, in the same match, Edge continued the match instead of ending
it. Well, that's three. Now, do you count the referee as a violator, too?
No, they don't count him.
I wonder why.
I don't know why. But, of course, Edge continued the match in violation. Number six, John Cena continued the match in violation. Number seven, in the same match, Edge competed outside the barricade, which was violation of state law. Number eight, Rich Herring, the promoter of record, allowed wrestlers in the two matches to violate state law and failed to end the matches immediately. Number nine, WWE continued the event, having a new match before washing off the ring mat of blood left from the previous match. That's all violation of state law. Those are nine.
You know what? I'm not even sure Rich Herring was in the building.
I know.
Well, Rich has been a long time with the legal department at WWE. And an all-around good guy as far as I know. I mean, what little dealings I've had with him. It's feasible to believe he wasn't there, but he's in violation anyway. Well, see, and I'm laughing because they did it. You know, they pushed the envelope, and there's a consequence to pay for it, okay?
Right. State law is $5,000 fine.
Yeah, that's the way it is, but here's the other deal. You know, when I laugh, and I think some of it's ridiculous because we're talking about Ian Rotten, Mid-South, IWA Mid-South.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one point back when your time you're talking about, the early 90s, he was trying to get on TV, and he contracted with me to come down and do play-by-play for his television, right?
Right.
And this head commissioner who he had was butting heads with wanted to know if I had a license. I said, a license for what? To be a play-by-play commentator? Are you ribbing me? No, but see, I mean, to me, that's just extortion, man.
Mm-hmm.
They're just looking for a way to get your money. See, and the other thing is, like, and I don't want to spring under my ring. I don't like springs under my ring. That's, you know, I just don't like that. But anyway, the first time he came to my show, you got a spring under your ring? I said, no. He looked, and I said, he said, you know, you're not allowed to have one. I said, well, I wouldn't have one. I don't like them, but why?
Yeah.
But he didn't know. But you just couldn't, right?
Yeah.
See, I mean, it's like stopping you for a driving violation, but yet I don't know which one I'm citing you for.
Yeah, policy.
It's a driving violation, Doc.
All right.
Yeah, Les, but what driving? Well, it's just a driving violation.
Yeah, and here's the kicker of the whole story. Not only is WWE probably going to have to pay these fines, they're also going to have to pay the 5% off the top, of course. And the head wrestling inspector, Tim Gunterman, is attempting to get WWE banned from promoting events in the state of Kentucky, which I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, that's silly because that's of that whole boxing and they're very little boxing, I would, you know, but I mean, and here's the other thing. There's probably some small wrestling promotions that are running. There's outlaw promotions running every place without insurance, without license. And when I say that, it goes on this state in Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky,
right.
every place. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, I mean, it happens because there's so many of them, you can't cover them all, right?
Right.
I'll guarantee you here in the state of Ohio, there was at least 10 went on this past weekend that were unlicensed and don't go through the whole rigmarole or probably didn't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the truth is the commissioner doesn't know that. Well, and see, the other thing is, and this has been going on since time eternal as far as I know, the commission does nothing for you. I mean, you take a complaint to them, they'll say, gee, we're sorry. I mean, it's not like you're buying a license for what?
Right.
It's not like you're in a union. They don't protect you. They don't guarantee your money. They don't make the, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing about Kentucky.
Well, it's not Kentucky. It's a lot of states that way. Now, see, the state of Ohio, when I was wrestling between 1960 and 1980, Cincinnati had a boxing wrestling commission. Columbus had a boxing wrestling commission.
Mm-hmm.
Steubenville, whatever. And you had to have a license for each city, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then those commissions were shut down for whatever reason. Well, they were probably costing more to keep the commissioners than there were actually revenue. You know, because, you got to go back to when I was a little boy in the late 40s and early 50s, there was wrestling almost every week, every Friday or Saturday night in Cincinnati, every week. And then boxing, you know, small boxing clubs around, too. So there was more revenue for a boxing wrestling commission at that point. But anyway, you know, most of them are, but now there's a state commission here. And that just started up back when I started my company. And I remember talking to the guy up in northern Ohio, one of the commission, and he said, you know, they run in bars in small. I said, yeah, that's there's more of them than there are the WWFs and WCWs.
Right.
You know, and that's the other thing, too. I sat in on a commission meeting in Nashville when I was with Southeastern Wrestling based in Knoxville. With the owner and myself, and Jeff's dad was there, and several promoters from the state. Anyway, this was to get rid of the commission, and the whole gist of it, I won't go into the whole boring story, but the gist of it was, okay, well, the horse racing commission had people in the horse racing industry on a commission,
mm-hmm.
and the, NASCAR or, the, you know, stock car racing, they had some kind of governing body, and they had stock, you know, you get my point, right?
Right. They're
okay.
Representatives of the sport.
Exactly. In the professional wrestling, there wasn't anybody on the commission that even had a clue.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they were governing what we did. So that's the reason a lot of the commissions were shut down. But then, like I say, the one in Ohio, they don't go. And they tell you, we're not coming to govern you. We just want your money. I mean, that'll say in those words, but that's basically it, you know.
Right.
No, I mean, it is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Listen, there's a guy just running right down the street from me. You got him licensed? Yeah, so what? He paid us the money, so he's got a license.
It's basically they have this attitude like, you're running a show in our state, you're using our citizens to make money, give us some.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Kentucky, they even asked me, we were running just across, you got to realize, well, you know how Cincinnati sits, Kentucky, Indiana.
Right.
You know, on the banks of the Ohio, and it doesn't take me 20 minutes to get across the river into the state of Kentucky from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And, if people work on both sides of the river all the time, but the one commissioner said about the merchandise and the little programs we sold and everything, he said, and the ticket revenue, well, you're taking this money back to Ohio. Wow, yeah, we got 150 people here, right? And after we pay the wrestlers and pay you 5%, guess what? We're lucky to break even and get out of here. You know, I mean, it's just, it's ludicrous. It really is. You know, but I understand with a big venue, you know, it's like, okay, if you're taxing rock concerts and they're drawing 16, 17, 20,000, you know, or 10 or 50,000 in a stadium someplace, I can dig it. You know, I mean, sure, that's revenue. I understand that, you know, but all, every little independent, and you know, like I say, when we started talking about this, the fact that Kentucky backed them up, I mean, I'm not saying, hey, it took Vince's money, but, you know, it's at least they're standing by it, and if they're going to make the little guy do it, they make the big guy do it, too.
Mm-hmm. Heel's got a question in the chat room, moving on. He wants to know, what we think about Coach's new spot.
I actually hadn't thought much about it.
I actually wasn't all that surprised. It was very anticlimactic.
Coach is, you know what, he's, Jonathan seems like a nice enough guy. I don't really know him that well. I've talked to him a few times. And, but, you know, he's there, you know.
Exactly.
Exactly.
He's there.
Yeah. It's just, you know, he's, well, one thing for sure, he's versatile. You know, he's tried a little bit of everything. He's taken bumps. He's now the assistant to the boss, and, he's been a commentator. He's been a backstage interviewer. He's been a manager. He's been a little bit of everything.
It makes a lot of sense that they're going to use him in this position, too. Taking him off the announce team, he didn't really have anything to do at the moment. It made complete, perfect sense when it was announced. Beforehand, though, I was anticipating who was going to be the new GM. And then when it was Coach, I was just like, all right.
I'll tell you what I liked, and I said this to, while we're on this, I talked to Jimmy Cornette, who is a personal friend.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy said he would like to do the show, but since he didn't know what he was going to do for TNA, then he didn't know what he could talk about. He said once that's all, you know, clear to him, then he'd be happy to do the show, and we'll talk about it. You know?
Excellent.
Well, you know, the deal is it's limited engagements, that I know, but there's actually nothing been signed at this point in time. It just slipped out, and they were trying to keep it a secret. So, you know, but anyway, that's the deal. And he said, well, once he knows, then he'll at least know what he can talk, what he wants to talk about,
right,
or what there is to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, but when I posed the Booker, he said, absolutely not. I don't want to
that well. I told you.
I know, but that's just a waste of his talent. It really is. I mean, he's just a tremendous storyteller. But anyway, carry on, Nurse.
Okay. Nurse. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll get to some more of this news later. We got a ton of news to get to still. But let's go ahead and get our first guest online from, of course, TNA, Wildcat Chris Harris of America's Most Wanted, coming up on Wrestling Weekly right after this break. You're listening to Doc Young and the legendary,
oh my God,
Les Thatcher.
Do I owe you money?
You love that.
No.
Right here on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be back, guys, right after this.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
The latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out ObsessedWithWrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone
located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name is Adam Nedelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nedelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Have you ever considered being in radio? Are you opinionated when it comes to the sports you love? Or possibly you've simply been told that you have a face for radio? Well, if one or all of these are true, visit FanTalkLive.com today. That's www.fantalklive.com. Contact Chris Chisholm today and find out how you can get started running your own radio show on the internet. We do all the work for you. All you need is a telephone. We provide you with a weekly broadcast with up to 200 live listeners, weekly archiving of your shows, and professional production to make your show complete. Again, the best part, all you need is a telephone. So don't delay. Contact Chris Chisholm for more information at fantalklive@aol.com. That's fantalklive@aol.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Well, Les, you know,
well, Doc,
I think we've been stood up.
Well, as they say, I ain't getting no cherry.
Huh? No. No satisfaction.
No, well, whatever.
But, you know.
Chris Harris, if I had known, I'd just run across the river and grab him by the ear like his mama would.
Yeah.
Carry him to the phone.
We'll have to do that this week sometime. Just run across the river and smack him around a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Like Wrestling Weekly, son.
He's gotten bigger, so he may smack back. I'm not sure.
It's possible. It's possible. Just say,
anyway.
Don't hit a man with glasses, Chris. Never.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, we're going to go on and with some of the news that we've got going on. And don't forget, of course, Christy Hemme will be on the show.
Right, and along with the ruggedly handsome Doc Young.
Yes.
Yes.
And you never know what's going to happen when you put somebody as good-looking as Christy and somebody as ruggedly handsome as Doc Young together in one
wow.
place. You never know what's going to happen.
Thank God they don't drug test us.
Yeah. Speaking of drug testing.
All right.
It looks like Chris Masters has been pulled off the road effective immediately.
I read that on our site yesterday, mm-hmm. but I haven't seen it anywhere else.
It was on PW Insider. It actually
was?
Reported this, yes. The supposed violation is the WWE drug policy.
I thought the first drug test was on the house, just to set a baseline.
That's what I thought too.
Well, yeah, I don't. I mean, when I say that, since there are no details, I don't know.
All right. For what it's worth, though, Chris Masters was advertised to wrestle Carlito at a Raw House show last week. He was not there. He didn't appear on the card. Instead, Carlito wrestled Shelton Benjamin and Rob Van Dam in a three-way for the IC title. So Masters is off the road. Why? Is still up in the air. What's being reported is violation of WWE drug policy, but take that as a rumor, and unless you hear different.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't know if they're going to publicize it or not.
Right.
There's a lot of guys. You know, a lot of guys are down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just well, it, it's it goes to show, you know, and it also is the reason that WWE has calmed the style down, you know, and try to take some of the big bumps out, except when they do ladder matches and table matches and insane matches like that. But, you know, I don't know. It's
you're seeing them, you know, a lot less of them, though.
Well, you know what? And again, it's called self-preservation, right? It's like I want to be able to walk when I retire.
Absolutely,
not be pushed around in a wheelchair.
You'd brought up just a few weeks ago, and we had him on the program, Terry Taylor, 50 years old, neck surgery, fusion. Wasn't a big risk taker, wasn't a high flyer, wasn't a hardcore, you know, competitor.
No. Didn't take 20 chair shots a week ahead or go, you know.
I am really not looking forward to seeing some of these wrestlers that are wrestling today in 20 years.
No, you're right.
I don't want to see what Rey Mysterio is going to be like when he's, you know, 47 years old. It's going to be sad.
Yeah, it is. Well, see, and I guess Benoit's down for a couple weeks to heal up. And,
yep.
You know. Man, it takes its toll.
Yeah.
It takes its toll.
WWE.com had an article about that. They said Chris Benoit's taking an indefinite break. That's how they worded it. Following last Friday SmackDown. JBL.
Yeah.
Taking a break to nurse some nagging injuries, of course. But Benoit is still scheduled to be at One Night Stand, so during that indefinite break, he's going to be competing for ECW pay-per-view.
And I hear that, Malenko and who else? Who's going to be the other agent for ECW? But I can't remember now. I
knew of Malenko.
Yeah, Malenko and somebody. I forget. I heard another name, too. But
good choice, though.
They were talking about Dean wrestling with Benoit on this One Night Stand, but they haven't announced that yet. I don't know. I'm wondering if it's Dean trying to get back in ring shape before it happens, or
it's possible.
You know, I don't know, because he hasn't worked in a couple years.
No, and I'm sure he's going to be rusting. You don't want that to be your first match back.
Well, it'll be his only match, I'm guessing.
Right.
You know.
He should do a couple dark shows before that, though.
But honestly, you know, this whole thing, I don't see it having a lot of legs. I could be totally wrong. Maybe it's just my, you know, that's my feeling. I mean, the whole Foley and Edge against Terry and Tommy, you know, just it doesn't set off fireworks, and I'm not real sure Van Damme and Cena do.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
According to reports, Joey Mercury is being sent to drug rehab. This is why WWE made the decision to break Eminem up.
I heard that rumor, and I was really, I won't say shy. I don't think, nothing shocks me in this business anymore.
Right.
Surprised.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good kid. I mean, he really is, and a good talent. Probably one of the least utilized good talents in the company. And I was surprised to hear that. And again, don't know that it's true for sure.
Right. It does make a lot of sense. We were wondering last week why they would break them up with such momentum.
Yeah.
That they had, and that's a good reason why.
Yeah.
It's more important to get yourself together than it is the show.
Yeah. And I don't. So that's a shame. I hope it goes well for him. And you know, to me, I like the team. I like the team. I tell you, in watching Brian Kendrick's Spanky and London the other night, I was impressed with them too. Now, if you stick them with Cash and Noble, I think you could have a real nice program there. You know, because that they should have some good matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something. You know, I was surfing around on the internet this morning and somebody was saying, well, you know, Shannon Moore's been signed. Where is he?
Yeah.
No, they could build a nice little cruiserweight. I wouldn't know what you meant to call it, cruiserweight, but a tag team division and give it some credibility and, again, build some strength in the mid-card. You know, I think there's a lot of missed chances there, and and I think a part of the sacrifice is so they can fit in the skits and, you know, some of that. And wow, I don't know.
Harry Smith made his WWE debut last week at a Raw House show.
Yeah, I have yet to see this, the Phenom, but I'm really interested in seeing him.
Heard a lot of nice stuff about him. Haven't seen his work yet either.
Yeah, yeah, I have too.
Maybe.
And if Benoit, if Chris is high on him, then I figure the kid's got to be, have some potential.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. See No Evil. Have you seen that movie yet?
Have I seen it?
Yes.
No, and I probably won't.
You're not going to.
No offense to my friend Glenn. But no, I just don't do those movies.
Right.
I'm not House on the End of Elm Street or Freddy's Dead 92.
I love those movies, though.
I'm not in any of that. I really not.
Love them, especially with the date, of course. We went over that last week. But See No Evil is officially a profitable movie now.
Well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Nope. In 2 weeks, the movie cost $8 million to produce. In 2 weeks, has made $9.4 million.
Well, good. Good. So, $0.4 over the budget.
So for all the people who said See No Evil was going to tank and it was going to be horrible, it still may be horrible. You never know. But for all the people that said it was going to be a failure, it's not.
Well, I did read that. Where is it? What is the one website? They had 27 reviews, and the highest rating, the ratings averaged out to a 1.5 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Wow.
So, I don't claim to be a critic, an expert at that. So I didn't see it, so I won't condemn it or put it
right
over.
What
I do think was a waste it was the hokiness of trying to sell Glenn as this creature to the actors who don't know how to act unless there's a script in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just some of that stuff was just so hokey. I'm thinking, come on, you're driving me nuts.
But everybody remembered the opening date. Everybody remembered the day the movie was going to come out. It served its purpose in that.
Yeah.
I
think the show's becoming too much product-based.
It's kind of infomercial-ish, but...
Well, and I think to incorporate in subtle ways is one thing, but just to ram it down your throat is yet another.
Oh, I'm exercising on my new Bowflex.
Huh?
I'm exercising on my new Bowflex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did that once, and they haven't done it again.
Thank God.
But the whole May the 19th thing is like, all right, yes, I know, thank you. Please don't say it again.
I don't know. I was entertained by it.
We have established that you're...
I'm easy to please.
The bar is not really high when it comes to...
No, it really isn't. You're talking to a guy, who watched Springer every night,
I know. His idol is Jerry Springer. I just want to grow up to be like Jerry Springer. I know. To be on his show.
Yeah. Speaking of Kane and the whole fake Kane angle last night, I know everybody's wondering who the fake Kane is. We're going to tell you right now. He is a man named Drew Hankinson, according to the Wrestling Observer. Hankinson is better known for his role as Freakin' Deacon in Deep South Wrestling. That's WWE's development.
But the first thing I noticed is he's not shaped like Glenn.
Really? I thought they were pretty close.
No, he's got more narrow in the shoulders. He doesn't. He's got, no, he's not,
He looks a little more narrow.
Yes.
But same size and everything. It was a nice little image to see them.
We've seen this. Where did they do this before? Oh,
I
1990,
know.
1993.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With the fake Undertaker.
Two Undertakers and two Canes. Now, they should bring back Brian Lee, put him back as the Undertaker, and have a tag team match. Undertaker and Kane versus fake Undertaker and fake Kane.
and this is why you're doing this talk show and not booking.
And not booking, yes.
Exactly.
This is why I'm not writing for WWE.
And there's other people that shouldn't be, but then that's neither here nor there.
Absolutely. WWE.com is reporting The Undertaker will be making his first appearance since losing to the Great Khali this Friday night at SmackDown. When Rowdy Roddy Piper welcomes him into a Piper's Pit segment. So, a little preview of what's going to happen this week on SmackDown.
Okay.
I'm
excited. I can't wait till Friday is just like,
yeah,
I'm beside myself.
Unless you want to read the spoilers, which I don't condone that. I don't condone spoilers.
You know what? I read them sometimes. It saves me watching something.
No, for SmackDown, I do read the spoilers because I have to, but I don't read the TNA spoilers. I always wait.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. I get TNA, so I can. I can't sit there too. And watch it.
You don't get SmackDown.
I don't get SmackDown.
Oh, okay.
Not until they move to CW Network.
I see. Well,
that was a yes. A heel was just saying in the chat room that was a pretty bad wig that was on Kane. The fake Kane. That was really. It looked like they dyed him black.
You know what? Poor Johnny Nitro's debut on Raw was less than auspicious.
I know. I was shocked. I was like predicting things left and right last night when Big Show came out. And he was going to be facing Edge. I was like, I'm so sick of Big Show jobbing to Edge. I'm so sick of seeing that. And then that happened. Nitro comes out. I'm like, okay, who's going to job to Nitro? And then, ding, ding.
Yeah, you know, we'll see, but then, see, that makes no sense either. They go through this elaborate entrance, and he gets his ass handed to him in mm-hmm. 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a competitive match. He was squashed.
Yeah.
That just ruined it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't either.
I can't understand why they would do something like that.
I don't either.
They should have had him fight Melina instead or something.
I have no earthly idea, and you know, there's a good chance they don't either. It's not about logic anymore.
It's completely possible.
I think Helmsley's going to get over as a baby face.
It's working so far.
Yeah, the Spirit Squad has got heat, but the whole five-man thing is just, it's like, you know, well, I tell you, it's like the weapons. It's like a sledgehammer. Now, you know, I was going to ask Chris about his Billy Club when we didn't get him on tonight. Come on, guitars, Billy Clubs, sledgehammers.
It's going back to the 80s.
Metal attaché cases. Jeez, come on. It's, you know, beer bottles. Come on. You know, it's just, it's like, okay. You make it so much. I don't think they realize that they trigger the wrong response with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's 1986 again.
Well, and they take you out. It's like I say, and I tell the kids that I train today. It's tougher to suspend people's disbelief than it was when I started. But you know what? That's still your job.
Right.
And make it easier on yourself. And you don't do it by that. You know, you just don't. And then I heard Vince's speech, and of course the heels can go over the top anyway, but you know, this whole thing about my poor son writhing in pain and like him sitting thinking, my God, he hit him in the face with he didn't castrate him or anything. I mean, he really did.
That was pretty bad. I was cringing.
To me, I think my stance has always been, well, okay, you come in the door being a disbeliever. My job is to suspend that,
mm-hmm.
not encourage it, right?
Right.
And a heel can conversely say anything because he's a heel, right? He can lie through his teeth. But I think this was an analogy years ago, and I've always remembered. You can walk in on your 8-year-old. With her hand in the cookie jar, and you can say, now if Daddy catches you with that hand in there again, he's going to turn you over his knee and paddle you. They're buying that, right? But
right.
Then if you say, Daddy catches you with that hand in that cookie jar again, he's going to throw you over the moon. Even that 8-year-old knows you're full of crap. You can't be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You stepped over that line. And it's not, I don't think it's necessarily a conscious thing, but it just, you know, it's like, I think with the wrestling fan, except for all the smart people in our who aren't really smart, but anyway, that's another show, 8 or 10 hours worth. It's tough enough as it is, and I think when you mix too much fantasy, you know, I like to parallel realism, and I think that's the way to go. Well, you know, I think what's Samoa Joe, I think, is pretty much everyday man.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have a lot of pretense. He doesn't, you know, do any. He doesn't have a weapon. He doesn't have fancy clothes. You know, he's just there.
He doesn't kick and scream.
No. You know, He doesn't yell and shout. And
he doesn't have catchphrases.
No, he doesn't call names. And it's amazing. He just wrestles. That's scary. Hey, you know, people are wrestling. They actually draw people in. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, we've done that before.
Yeah, and it's working for him.
Of
course, talent has a lot to do with it in the ring.
Well,
if he's stuck in the ring.
Well, see, I think where they missed the boat there is when he pinned Jarrett. They came back on the next TV and mentioned nothing at all about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that should have been the talk. That was the reason that would have been the reason for it. Back in the day, or with any booker that I'm aware of, anyway, right?
Right.
Joe pinned Jeff Jarrett. Wow. You know, because at some point the belt comes back to Jarrett, and then Joe and Jarrett go at it, right?
Right. Even if they're not looking for a program between the two right away.
Well, see, and that's it, though. You plant the seed, and you let, you know, it's like if you go out in your front yard and plant a flower seed, you don't expect it to be in full bloom tomorrow morning.
Right.
Right? Or if you do, your expectations are way, way out of line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just doesn't happen. And that, to me, the best angles are nurtured, and they're given some time. Well, like this DX thing.
Yes.
You know?
And the anticipation is being built.
Exactly. When's it? Yeah, exactly.
And everybody's talking about it, and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
That's how you need to do it.
See? Gosh, Doc, you're catching on.
Yes.
That's scary.
Beth Phoenix, yeah.
Next thing you know, you'll be turning off the lingerie matches. I don't
know. I don't know about that, my friend.
Well, I know. I can only hope. But
what's it? Baby steps, my friend. Baby steps.
The 12-step program.
What did you think about Beth Phoenix last night, speaking of the women?
What did I think about what?
Beth Phoenix is
the first time I saw her was on the Shimmer tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked her and when I read she was a power lifter, which didn't surprise me.
No, it didn't.
No, I mean, she's muscled. And she's actually slimmed down a little bit
mm-hmm.
from the Shimmer tape. But yeah, I'm hip. She looks like an athlete. I like that.
They had her just run roughshod on those girls last night. But they have signed Chantel Taylor now.
Yeah, and I said, you know, that's another one that jumped off the page at me on that first Shimmer Volume 1. And again, I recommend that to people if you're, you know, it's a good all-women show.
Yeah, you can pick up Shimmer at ROHWrestling.com. Yes.
Yeah,
good stuff.
That's cool.
But Dave Prezak, he must be going crazy right now. All his women are being stolen by WWE.
All of whose women?
All of his Shimmer girls are being taken.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Well, you know, I told Gabe Sapolsky when he was on our show, you know, you got to take that as maybe a left-handed compliment, but it's a compliment nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
It means you're doing something right.
I believe that's three so far. Chrissy Vane, Beth Phoenix, Chantel Taylor.
Chrissy Vane is down in Deep South. She was on that first Shimmer show, on mm-hmm. the second one too, but I haven't seen the second one yet.
Right.
Who else? But it was a good. The best match was Mercedes Martinez and Sarah Del Rey.
Oh yeah,
was the draw.
And I still don't understand why they don't have a contract somewhere.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I agree. I saw Martinez for the first time. Oh, it's been about a year and a half ago, up in New England on one of the New England Championship Wrestling shows, and I was very impressed. I said, damn, she can work. So yeah, that was. And I was thinking the same thing you're talking about the girls. I said, damn, all these girls on the Shimmer. I was going down the roster, and I said, three of them are on a WWE thing now. I'll tell you the truth. I've always been high on Melissa Anderson, cheerleader Melissa.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, that first Shimmer was below par for her in a match that I've seen her in, and I don't know if it was just she was off, the girl she was with wasn't. I don't know. I really don't. But I've been curious why she hasn't been under contract. She's a pleasure to work with. She usually trains with us out in Vegas at Cauliflower Alley. And,
yes.
Which she was next week, by the way.
She had won Cauliflower Alley's Future Legend Award a few years back. 2 years ago.
Yep. And I tell you, it's funny because sometimes she'll run a drill with a guy, and She's more aggressive than he is.
Heard him. But well, Cauliflower Alley, tell us about this.
Well, she's been to Japan a few times and worked with the women over there, which they don't play around either. I mean, really, they're very serious. They take it very seriously,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty hard nose for the ladies. But I think Beth Phoenix is a good addition to the WWE crew.
Question in the chat room. It says it seems like WWE might be trying to make the women's division, trying to take the women's division seriously. Do you think it's possible with these new signings of women that can wrestle?
I think it's possible. Whether it happens or not, of course, it remains to be seen. It could be a passing fancy. I don't know. Well, Jazz, of course, to me is one of the best women workers out there.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be in ECW, and of course, Phoenix. Like I said, I thought, yeah, if I were running a show, I'd want to book her. I hadn't seen her down in OVW, but she's good. And I don't know. It would be good if they did that. I think. I think, here's the deal. If you like, again, get the Shimmer tapes or DVDs or whatever it is you use at home. Honestly, if you're looking for athletic girls. My only dig at this show would be that there were a couple matches that just went way too long past the talent levels of the girls. And I don't mean that in a cutting way. It's just, they didn't have the experience to go that long, and it turned into a kick punch, and it was like, okay, I'm kick punch goofy now.
Kick punched out.
Yeah, exactly, please. Somebody grab a hole.
While we're speaking about this, for the guys in the chat room, if you're listening to the show and you're not in the chat room, please come on in, WrestlingWeekly.com, click on the chat link. But we're going to be taking questions until we get to the Christy Hemme interview. So if you have any questions for myself or Les about anything
that has to do with wrestling. If you have any young ladies listening, you want a Doc's phone number as first.
Stuff like that, anything. Just bring it up in the chat room and we'll discuss it with you. For a price. No.
Yeah, there you go.
Seriously,
you go.
But what do you think about the Foley-Heyman debate?
I just didn't have the punch to it, the pizzazz or whatever you want to call it that I expected out of it. And again, listening to the response, it didn't get that much response. People are having a hard time buying Mick as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been good old Uncle Mick for so long, and I see the problem, And they're not sure about it. I mean, you got to realize these. And here's the other thing. See, the crowd we're talking about here is the type of crowd that ECW is going to be taping in front of. I mean, no, I'm sure that some of the ECW fans will start coming to the. Was it SmackDown they're going to do on Tuesday?
Yes.
They're going to tape in front of SmackDown. But I'm sure that some of the fans will come. To see ECW, but still, I think the majority will be of the type that, like, we didn't hear last night, more to the point than we heard,
mm-hmm.
right? They're kind of taking a wait-and-see attitude, too, because you got to realize that some of these people, when did ECW go under? 6 years ago? No.
99, I believe.
Okay, so 7 years ago, almost, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got to realize some of these people weren't fans then.
Right.
So, okay, it's just a myth to them or some, a rumor or whatever, right? I mean, let's go back to when Mick called Dreamer out for the three-way hardcore match, and he got no response.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's they say, well, it really wasn't regional, but it was more East Coast. That was California. They were out there maybe once, if that. But anyway. And then this thing last night, like I say, I think Paul and Mick are two of the best promo guys going, over the last 25 years. But it just, that spark wasn't there last night. I don't know. Again, I'm for the earning power of a lot of guys who don't have a steady paycheck, I say I hope it flies, but I'm not sure.
They shot hard last night in that thing, though. I mean, they said some interesting things, but...
My favorite
of the night was Foley talking about everyone came out at ECW, a drunk, a drug addict, a criminal, or a corpse. That's not fair if some of them came in that way.
Well, he didn't say that.
But, I mean, just the fact that, he's coming out like that, it's just... Wow.
Well, yeah, but it's, well, see, that's, we work to shoot now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, but you know what? Look around you. Look at all the, I see these magazines when I'm checking out at the grocery store, right?
Yeah.
And it's Jessica Simpson, or Brad and Angelina, or Jennifer and Vince, or whoever. I mean, every magazine, that's all it's about, right, is the gossip and who's, you know, like, who's doing what to who. It's Denise and Charles, or is it, so, you know, and I'm the, wow. I mean, it's the craze.
It's the paparazzi era.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Everybody wants to know what's happening. It's amazing.
And they want to know what's happening. A lot of things that it's none of their business.
Well, yes.
You know what's happening.
I wouldn't disagree with that. Well, you know, it's like this thing about Joey Mercury. You know, it's not. Is it necessary that we all know? You know, is he proud of it? I don't think so.
Right.
You know, and of course the sad thing is, if we didn't know, the stigma wouldn't be there. But and when I say we, there are going to be people that say, okay, he was in drug rehab.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we got to look at him different than we look at everybody else. Not necessarily. You know, but I mean, again, you know, it's his private hell, and I'm sure he's. It's tough enough to deal with without the whole world sharing it with him, you know.
Right.
So, anyway, yes.
Dead Man says, Doc, Les, what's your opinion on the great Khali?
He did a fair job in Longest Yard.
Yeah, he's a pretty good actor. That's what I got to say.
He will not make my top 10,000 list of great workers I have seen or worked with. He's just what he is. He's a big guy who is not a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how long the show. I'm hearing stories that they've got some long-term plans unless he bombs. And I'm thinking, if he bombs, I don't think it's a matter of if. It's just a matter of when. He's so limited. You know, and
when he's done with this, when he's done with this program, I don't see what else they have for him after that.
I don't either.
I can't think of anything else.
And, you know, to make him go 5 or 10 minutes is insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, everybody will be asleep before it's over.
True. Heel says, did that debate feel like a shoot, especially the comment of RVD being a high flyer?
Well, you know, it's, what is it, 420?
Yeah.
I guess, I don't.
Take it how you want it.
You know, that's. I'm not even going to comment. You know, a lot. I liked what he said to Lawler. Maybe you should take after Ted.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, Jerry, maybe he's right.
Or Jerry looked hurt.
whatever. Whatever.
Big K says, do you really see SmackDown and Raw becoming one federation again with the addition of ECW?
No. Because I don't see ECW replacing either one of those.
I don't either. It would be nice if it could, and if it was success like that and becomes an alternative. But either way, I don't see SmackDown and Raw coming back together again, because basically that's not what McMahon wants.
No.
So it's not going to happen. Now,
well,
if
you know, there again, you can't put the ECW crowd in 10,000 seat arenas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a slap. It's just a well, and part of the reason they went under was the fact that they tried to outgrow their limits. You know, they tried to get bigger than they actually were. That's one of the things I think in talking to Kerry and Gabe at Ring of Honor, and I haven't talked to them about their business plan, but I mean, just they're level headed enough, I think, to realize that their money's in the tapes and the DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they understand that their house is 500 to 700 normally, and then, you know, they get the odd 1,000 or 900 or whatever. But let's say they average 6, you know, and then the major money is made off the DVD sales.
Right.
So, and they're aware of that. So you won't see them booking any 3,000 or 4,000 seat buildings. So that,
unfortunately.
You know, huh?
Unfortunately.
Well, you know, no, it's see, and that's the thing. It is a niche thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, I don't know if it's quite a cult following, but it's sort of the ECW of its era.
Yeah.
To a certain degree, you know, only a more, well, it doesn't have television, and it didn't innovate, you know, bloodletting to a huge degree, so it doesn't jump off the page, actually, like ECW did.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a really great opportunity, though, for the guys that are just kind of just doing their career on velocity and heat.
Well,
and
you know, it's... Like I say, it's going to end up being a feeder like ECW was to a certain degree anyway.
Right.
You know, but it'll be a higher level, you know, to go to.
Yeah, on a bigger scale, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you can go up to, you know, you can come up from the developmentals and you can go to ECW and then WWE instead of coming from developmental straight up.
Right.
I heard they were going to bring CM Punk up. For ECW,
you know, you hear all sorts of things.
Right.
It's hard to say.
It's not something that's been confirmed or anything like that.
Right.
But it's a possibility.
Well, I hear Paul is high on him. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, so that's obviously a step in the right direction for that to happen. But it you know, again, somebody else can call the shots there too.
Mm-hmm.
Please realize, no matter who they're calling commissioner or booker. There's one man still has the final say-so.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be too busy to use it or care.
Well,
and
you know,
let Paul make the decisions.
I honestly think that's already happened. I mean, I just think there's too much going on.
I think it is, too. I think Vince is, like, not as into this as he was when he first decided to do it.
Well, I don't know. Well, I think that whether he wants to burn out or not, everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
At some point needs a break, I think. And and the company has gotten so big and they've been doing so many things that call for his attention too.
Right.
So yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to say.
TNA for Life says, what do you think will happen if Cena retains the title at One Night Stand 2?
Well, I don't know. What Paul said last night, you know, like where they're going to relive the Shane Douglas thing where he threw the belt down and renounced to the NWA and said ECW forever.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't see that. Well, to me, I wouldn't do it again. That doesn't mean they won't, you know.
Right.
Because it's not going to be seen as the same company or in the same size at the same level, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it could only bring Raw down a peg,
right?
Or I mean, Raw down a peg because I think they're going to end up having to have a belt, but I don't think it's I just don't see that happening with Cena and Van Damme.
I don't see RVD winning at all.
No,
and I've said this before.
Rob's got to work on his promos, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just really cool to be cool, but it's nicer if you might have some inflections in what you said. You know? No, I mean, really.
It's because he's been a high flyer for so long.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
I'm kidding, Rob. I'm kidding. But
no, he's not. Doc never kids. No, I don't know. You know, it's everybody. I mean, it's all this speculation and conjecture and this and that. But again, you got to wait and see. And there's so many variables that we don't know about, so we can't talk about. You know. And the crazy thing is, I know probably a lot of people tune in and think, well, you know, Les Thatcher's been in the business 100 years, and he knows. But that's the whole problem. I am acutely aware, and also acutely aware that if you're second-guessing, you can be so far off base, it's unreal.
Yeah.
Because, You know, never mind how something starts out. It's all the political twists and turns and mind changes and seeing it in a different perspective and on, you know. So that's like when we pick the pay-per-views, I think.
The pay-per-view prediction game, yes.
Yeah, I think, my God, there's 20 different ways this could actually go, depending on who's happy at home and who's not, or, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's just one of those crazy things.
Miss Destiny says, do you ever see Bret Hart and HBK ever becoming friends again after the Montreal screw job?
No.
No.
I didn't take long to answer. No. I don't see
no,
that.
I do not. I think
Bret has gone as far of healing and putting it aside by doing the Hall of Fame and the DVD as it's going to get. You know what?
Right.
And here's the deal. Right or wrong, whether I agreed or didn't agree, the point is I admire him for standing by him, you know, by what he's decided on.
Mm-hmm. If Bret can't get over it after 9 years, he's not going to.
Well, you know, again, having been on the management side and on the talent side, I see a little bit of both, and it's just, well, you know, but...
Yeah, I'm not one to say who's right or wrong in this whole situation, but the fact of the matter is Bret was hurt by it, naturally, and he's got really ill feelings about it, and I don't see that changing.
Well,
that's,
you know,
basically what
crazy,
it boils down to.
Here's the crazy thing. If I know this, there's other people who know this as well, and that is that a lot of the most creative people, the most passionate about the business are like Bret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why they are the way they are. That's why they are successful. And, you know, it's just, so I think a lot of guys understand it. You know, and you know, I don't know if you recall or not, but Foley went home that night.
Right.
In protest.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was gonna,
which I admired too.
He was going to lead this big revolt. And then, I suppose the story went that Foley went home and talked to a bunch of his friends that were wrestlers, and they said, well, I'm not coming back either. The next night, he was in his hotel room watching Raw, and all those people that said they weren't coming back were coming on the screen one by one.
Yeah, well, see, and that's why there's never been a union in this business.
Right. Next question. Does it feel like SmackDown is about to go down with all the stars they're losing?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, it's well, what they need, you know, they are bringing up younger guys. What do they call him? Brett Albright? What's his new name?
What's his new name?
That's what I ask you.
I know, I'm trying to think.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember.
I've known him as Bret Albright for so long.
Right.
This is an opportunity for him to come up. And I guess they're looking at some other guys to come up too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, the thing that everybody's seeing is, yeah, a lot of guys are going down. You know, I was thinking tonight, I was looking, reading through the Observer, actually just came in the mail to the Observer, and the Torch that came, they just scanned through them both, and reading about, you know, somebody said, well, there were several three-star matches in this pay-per-view, but there were none in the four range, and I'm thinking, but, you know, see, my problem with all that is, okay, here's a damn good example. Shawn Michaels had a lot of four-star matches. Now he's having 3 3/4, and now they're down to 3.5, and now they're down to 3. Now he's going to take time off. You can't expect a guy, because he had a 5-star or a 4-star or a 4.5-star, to have one every night.
Right.
You know, you got to realize the body's got to be right, the mindset's got to be right, the rhythm with the guy you're in the ring with, is all that. Everything's got to fall into place, and the fact that he's elevated other guys as has Benoit or Flair or Buddy Rogers, going all the way back to my idol, that's all well and good, but man, you can give 100%, but only 100% of what you have, you know, and
right.
Once you've been on the road for a while, it gets to you. He's not, here's another thing, he's not an old man, but, you know, by normal standards, but what he's put that body through, wear and tear, and then realize he had a few years off. You know, so, you know, it's, I expect a lot.
And it's called a five-star match because it's a five-star match. It's the top, the pinnacle of the entire...
Yeah. Well, see, to me, it's like, well, they only had a few three-star matches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you know what it takes, by even by their standards, to achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like some of these television squashes. Are they? Why do you rate them? You know, they only had a quarter of a star, minus a star and a half. Or it is what it is. You know, what is there to rate? The guy went out there and did the job he was paid to do.
Right.
You know, so what are you rating?
Well, that's what people want to hear, though.
You know, why not rate it as, hey, the guy did what he was paid to do? Who's the mark here?
Right.
Right? What did you expect out of this? Well, listen, because Joe Blow is rating me in the weekly Troubadour, I've got to go out there and go against what I'm getting paid to do so I can have be marked up more stars.
Yeah.
Okay, now you can also get in the unemployment line and find another job because you don't work here anymore.
No, I mean, if you went out and you did your job perfectly, I mean, you bounced, you bumped, you laid flat, I mean, everything went perfect. Is that a five-star match?
What a kid that I've worked with. Who I won't mention who he is because the contract is on the way to him in the mail, and we talked earlier or late last week over the weekend.
Les got some secrets.
Well, that's not a secret, but anyway, he had a tryout when they were out west, and he called me to thank me for my help and to tell me and share the good news and all, you know. And he was saying that when he came to the back of the second night that he had, I forget who he worked with, it was with Gregory Helms. I forget who the agents, a couple of them had some nice things to say, and it really elevated him. But the point is, see, that's it. One of my kids did for Ugawa or whatever the hell they're calling it.
Umaga. Umaga.
Umaga, appearing in Columbus. Rory Fox,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. And then somebody said, well, what is that about? I said, he did what he was saying. And he got a compliment for doing what he did. Hey, good job.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the agents, because I talked to him a day or so later. But see, that's the point. He was doing what he was. Now, did they rate that as a... No, but he did what he, you know, yeah, but he should have got 2.5 stars or 3 for doing what he was paid to do.
Right.
And doing it properly.
His stars came from whoever made that compliment to him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. So these people, these experts doing the rating aren't really experts. And that's why I don't particularly get into that sort of thing.
Another thing, if every match was a 5-star match, there wouldn't be. It'd be a 3-star match, and the bar would be raised.
We'd all be burnt out.
Yes, definitely. It's special because it's special, because it doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
So, that's that. Question for Doc and Les: do you think Kurt Angle going to ECW opens the door for good matches like Angle versus Sabu?
I don't know why that would be a good match.
I don't either.
It sure would be a conflict in styles.
Yeah, definite clash.
Yeah. No, I think Angle needs to stay away from anything like that because here's the deal, too. A lot of people don't understand this, but Sabu is a daredevil for the stuff he does,
mm-hmm.
but also the guy catching him is in danger, too.
Right.
You know, his ass is on the line, as it were. No, I don't think so. I don't think that's the Angle's best interest. And I don't know about Sabu working a mat, you know, working a wrestling match as such, which, is, I don't mean that in a demeaning way. It's just that's not his specialty, and that's not what got him over.
Right. And, he's got enough injury problems health-wise.
Yes.
Anyway, he doesn't need any more. Guys are bloodthirsty out here.
We're going to take a break. One more quick comment before we go to break. Knuckles says, I think they should cancel wrestling and just bring back some wrestling. That would be sweet. I had to say that. We're going to take.
Why did you have to say that?
I don't know. It struck me as funny.
Okay.
It was funnier when I read it than when I said it. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, our featured guest, Christy Hemme from TNA, one of TNA's newest knockouts, going to be on the program. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher here on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be back after this.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name is Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Have you ever considered being in radio? Are you opinionated when it comes to the sports you love? Or possibly you've simply been told that you have a face for radio? Well, if one or all of these are true, visit fantalklive.com today. That's www.fantalklive.com. Contact Chris Chisholm today and find out how you can get started running your own radio show on the Internet. We do all the work for you. All you need is a telephone. We provide you with a weekly broadcast with up to 200 live listeners, weekly archiving of your shows, and professional production to make your show complete. Again, the best part, all you need is a telephone. So don't delay. Contact Chris Chisholm for more information at fantalklive@aol.com. That's fantalklive@aol.com.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. And we've got on the line right now our featured guest, guys, from TNA. It's the newest TNA knockout, Christy Hemme, on the program. Christy.
Hello!
Thanks for being with us, Christy.
Thanks for having me.
She's got her own cheering section. I like that.
Yeah.
I know.
She just has these people. She pays them to go everywhere. And every time somebody hears the name Christy, they just go, woo! So you're still down in Orlando, right?
I'm in Orlando. We did the show yesterday for Impact. Thursday night, and actually stayed here an extra day to do some interview stuff, and now I'm just kind of hanging out with everybody, and we're having sushi and sake.
Awesome. Sake?
Sake beer.
Oh, wow.
How do you like your new role as, what, hostess, I guess?
We're taking it slow and kind of working me in and you know, trying to see where I fit in the show, first of all. I mean, I definitely have aspirations to wrestle and, you know, do more, but for right now, we just kind of want to see where I fit.
Are you still training?
Yes, I am.
Who's helping you out in that department?
I am going to be training at the dojo in Santa Monica.
Ah, nice, nice.
Yeah.
You know, that brings me to something I was going to ask, too. To me, your in-ring work was noticeably improving, and that's what really surprised me when they released you in WWE, because if for nothing else, Pitt Finley was doing his job.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I will, no matter what, in anything that I do, I will always give 100%, 110%, and up until that very end, that's what I did. I never backed off my goals or what I wanted to do or what I was aspiring to do, which is to wrestle. That's where my heart is.
Uh-oh. I think we're losing Christy on her cell phone. Are you there, Christy?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. We're starting to lose you.
Well, I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead and continue. You were talking.
Did you get the end of my sentence?
No, I didn't. We didn't hear you.
Well, where did you hear me up till?
You were talking about,
See, Doc, you're
Basically, I will always give 110% to whatever it is I'm doing, and my heart is in wrestling, and my heart is to wrestle, so even in the end there, I still, you know, up until that last day, I still gave it my all, and coming over here to TNA, it's been an amazing transition. I really didn't know what to expect because, I mean, it kind of turned me off to the business somewhat, you know, leaving like that. And when I came over here, I was like, well, what, you know, what's it going to be like? Am I going to feel the same way? And I came over and my passion came back faster than I could step my feet into the door, you know.
When you first wanted to try out for the Diva Search, I mean, this is when, like, you know, there's the commercial on TV and you see it, or you find out about it and you decide that, gee, I'm going to do this. What was your reasoning for that?
Actually, it's kind of funny because I had a couple of people. Not only did I see it and I was like, oh, my God, that's perfect for me. But I had a couple people come to me and be like, we got to, like, bring you in on this thing because this is perfect for you. I was like, you know, no, it's not just me. You know, it's my personality. It fits, and it's, you know, what I want to do.
Were you interested in wrestling or just being
part
of
the show? You know, I've been modeling for years and have grown very bored of it and knew that I had more and more to offer and more that I wanted to do. So I knew going into that, the wrestling and being more part of the show and more part of wrestling was going to be something I'd want to do.
You know,
I can't just sit on the sidelines.
You know, to me, I think what I like most about the hostess thing is our business has gotten to the point over the last few years that every woman is a harlot or a backstabber, or, you know what I'm saying? And you're coming across as just folks. And I think that's refreshing in itself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm enjoying it. I mean, for me and TNA, it's like I want to be where they feel most comfortable putting me, and I want to just learn my ropes around it. It's such a different company. The everything about it is so different, and I just want to kind of find my way where I fit in the best.
Now, you had done a commercial before for a diet pill, correct?
Yes, Trim Spa.
Trim Spa. All right, you don't have a contract with them anymore, right?
I never had a contract with them.
Okay, so you're not obligated to promote Trim Spa or anything like that?
No.
Okay, so now I can ask you, did you actually use Trim Spa, or were they just like, this chick looks
good? I used their natural pill.
Uh-huh.
I used their natural pill.
Ah.
Not that, like, I think they had, an ephedra. I don't promote ephedra products because I just don't think that they're good for you, but
right.
Anything with, like, natural herbs or just something with keeping your vitamins and, you know, taking your daily vitamins, I think, is always a healthy lifestyle.
Did you actually see the difference when you were using it? Yeah, I feel like an infomercial right now for Trim Spa now.
For me, personally, it's more about my diet rather than taking a pill or a vitamin or anything like that.
Right.
If I eat healthy, I can always tell that I'm in better shape. And I try and keep my diet pretty healthy and then, like, I have my cheat days, you know, like today and yesterday this has been my cheat days, you know. But usually, I mean, I try and work out, you know, like 4 times a week and then I eat healthy.
Excellent.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about your diet. So you stick with it pretty strict.
I love to cook. I'm a big fan of cooking. So I go to, the first thing I do when I get home from the airport, I go to the grocery store and I just sit and I venture around what kind of concoctions I can put together that week. And when I'm on the road, I try and stick to, like, healthy stuff. But I always have a cheat day every week and 1 to 2 cheat days. So,
hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Do you know any TNA knockouts that don't have to watch what they eat?
Well, I think that we all are very active, so that helps a lot,
you know?
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
I mean, who wants to stay on a completely strict diet all the time?
Right.
You know?
It's not
fun.
No fun. Right.
No, that's no fun at all.
I'm waiting for good questions in the chat room to ask you. Right now, it's just a bunch of marriage proposals and stuff. So I'm, like, actually waiting for good stuff, but Heal 2006.
Tell those guys to send their stock portfolios.
Tell them I marry all of them.
There's only one Christie, fellas. Get in line. But Heal 2006 says, did any wrestlers give you a hard time in the WWE after you won the Diva Search? Like maybe jealousy over, you know, coming in the easy way, quote-unquote?
Yeah, you know, it was the easy way. And I came in a different way than most people. Everybody, you know, I have so much admiration for the way that people wait and actually, you know, it's like school for them. But for me, I knew what I was getting myself into, and I knew if I could just show them where my heart is, then they would respect me for that, and I think that I did do that.
So the Diva Search was all on the up and up, right? I mean,
yeah, it was. And, you know, because I hosted the second one, so I knew, you know, what I really got to see behind the scenes for that, and it was. And I was thankful that it was because I wanted to win it because I deserved to win it because the fans wanted me to be there.
Yeah, and not, what's her name? I can't even remember her name anymore.
Carmella.
Carmella. Oh, my
yeah.
God. Don't get me started.
Yeah, she, I think I was probably the better choice.
I
might stay in the business a little bit longer.
Yeah, I marked out. I voted for you, actually.
Well, thank
yes.
you.
Especially during that last week. I did not want Carmella to win.
Yeah,
but,
good. That's the reason I'm here today. So.
Yes, I was not a big Carmella fan.
No.
But, yeah, and I don't do things like that.
Yeah.
Like call in and stuff like that, but I had to do it. It had to be done.
Yeah.
D.W. King says, you're getting cut by WWE. Was it your choice, or were there really backstage problems? I guess there were some rumors going around.
You know what? There's lots of rumors, and to be perfectly honest, they're actually not true. And usually, I mean, you think that some stuff would be true, but
right.
The thing is that, I mean, in the end of it, I think that just my gut feeling and where my heart feels like it is, I really feel like I wasn't supposed to be in that company. I don't think that it was a fit for me. I always felt from that very first audition that wrestling was something that I was supposed to be a part of, something that was in my heart and something that I was going to be passionate about for a long time. But coming over to TNA and feeling the vibe backstage and feeling the camaraderie between the people and also not having that company versus, you know, versus wrestlers type feeling at all. It's like, it's just such an amazing feeling, and it feels like a fit for me. It feels like I'm supposed to be here, and this is what I'm supposed to do. So I think that things happen for a reason, and I think that it's happening in my favor.
Absolutely. Kick Me in the Hopper says, what are Christy's thoughts on Carmella? And I want to elaborate on this. When you and Carmella were, I guess the last two or the weeks, a couple weeks before that, was there any underlying animosity between you guys, or was it just friendly competition?
No, it really was just friendly competition because, I mean, some of those girls really had true, like, you know, like, battles with each other. It was perfectly entertaining for me. I had the most fun watching those girls duke it out. But when it came down to Carmella and I, it was just kind of like, you know, good luck, good luck. And truly, if she would have won, I would have been happy for her. I would have been a little sad just because I think that you guys, I think that the fans, I think that everybody deserves to have somebody there that really wants to be there and will stay and
mm-hmm.
give it, you know, more than just, you know, what she would have given it. But,
yeah.
I think it worked out for the best.
Because, as a guy, you know, I don't know this, but the myth goes that you cannot put a bunch of women in the same room together for too long, especially if the goal is to see which one's the best one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. No, you can't. And there's no two ways around it. There's got to be some kind of duking it out. Actually, though, with that second Divas Search, I was surprised there really wasn't. I was like, aren't you guys going to fight? Like, I was hoping for that. And there was, like, no... I mean, that first Diva Search was so entertaining, at least for me, just because I was like, you know, the girls were at each other's throats, and it was fun, but...
Yeah, you got to knock Coach around a little bit, too.
Yes, I did.
In both Diva Searches, but...
Yes, I did.
What kind of guy is Coach? Is he a nice guy?
Yeah, he's, you know... He's got a personality.
Yeah.
He's got a big personality.
Look, is it fair to say that a lot of coaches' personality shines on television?
It does, but, you know, just like with most of the characters on TV, It really is just, and it's pretty much their personality.
Darkblade says, did you enjoy doing E3 as a booth babe a few years ago?
You know what? I've done that show for many years.
Really?
And I always had fun doing E3 because I loved walking around looking at all those games and just playing all day. I mean, all I did was dress up as a character in some game and, you know, run around and play video games all day.
Who have you dressed up as?
I was a warrior princess one year with this, like, gold medal outfit on, nothing but, like, just like a bra and a chastity belt. It was awesome. And then another year I was, like, what are those, like, little strudel girls?
Mm-hmm.
Like a, I don't remember what they called. I've been all kinds of interesting things.
So you're into the games and things like that?
Oh, yeah, it's so fun.
Do you have your own systems at home, or?
No, I just do it when I go play,
right.
You know, play
mm-hmm.
this stuff.
VNS says, are you currently training with anybody specific in TNA? I know we know this already.
No, not right now, because I'm just, really, we've got so much stuff to work out. We've been doing all the knockouts and DVD shoots and stuff. So just getting me up on the website and getting all that stuff going and really finding my way through the company, you know, we've got a lot to go before we really get to the nitty-gritty of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Andy says, was the Seattle Slugfest meant to go ahead as a proper boxing match and plans were changed because of the boxing laws?
Was it what?
Was the Seattle Slugfest meant to go ahead as a proper boxing match and the plans were changed because of boxing laws?
I think they were changed because they were nervous of what I would do because I'm very aggressive. In all honesty, because she's kind of a weenie. And so they were nervous that I might hurt her.
<That's>
I mean, my intention wouldn't be to hurt her, but, you know, you get enough adrenaline in me and I'm bouncing off the walls, you know.
Absolutely. TNA for Life says, classic question warning. What is your opinion on John Cena?
On who?
John Cena.
I think he's entertaining. I'm not a huge fan of his,
yeah.
But I'm not a big rapper fan, you know.
Right.
Rock chick. Not my favorite.
Looking for some more questions here. What do you think of people who pretend to be you on places like MySpace?
Well, I mean... Oh, I posted a little thing on my website saying I'm not on MySpace because I'm not on MySpace, but
mm-hmm.
I'd rather they didn't do that, but, I mean, if they want to do it, fine.
I would find it kind of flattering, you know? Somebody pretending
to
hate me.
I don't really care. It's not really a big deal. I think it's kind of funny. But, yeah, whatever. It takes so much to offend me. You know, you can pretty much do anything or say anything, and I'll be fine.
Yeah, I think you know you've really made it when people start pretending to be you.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying Global Impact now? You guys taped that on the same day, right?
Yes, we taped it on the same day. I love doing Global Impact, and it's a fun show to do. Me and Jeremy have a lot of fun. It's a good combating between us, but... it's great for me because it allows me to really know the product even better than just watching the show. So I get all the behind-the-scenes dirt, and I get to know stuff before it happens, and it's fun.
Oh, yeah, you're privy now.
Yeah, I'm so privy. I'm like, in, baby.
Well, next time I need to know something, I'm going to call you.
Yes, like, I know. I know it all.
Christy, give me the skinny, baby. Give me the skinny. But seriously, what would be the one match, a women's match, that you would like to have in TNA?
I would love to have a match against Gail.
Yeah.
Because she's just not too nice right now.
No.
And she needs to be put in her place.
Absolutely. What did you
and
think?
And as a wrestler, I admire her greatly.
Oh, definitely,
so.
Yes. I'm waiting to see Gail get in the ring, too. I'm waiting for some women's matches on TNA.
We're going to get some.
Awesome.
We'll get some.
Do you watch Shimmer, is a question from the chat room.
What's Shimmer?
It is a women's promotion run in the Midwest.
I've never seen, I haven't seen it before.
Ah, okay.
No.
I think you would like it.
I'm sure I would like it.
Yeah,
I'm so pro female wrestling. It's ridiculous. I have so much admiration for anybody that can, you know, go in and really work it out like that. I just,
yeah,
I've more power to everyone that does.
Yeah, you would like this because it's more about the athletic ability than it is the TNA.
You're right, I would.
Yeah, we'll have to.
I would really like that.
We'll have to get the Ring of Honor get you a copy. Because,
you know, I'm all about the bikini and all those sexy everything too, but when it comes right down to it, wrestling's the real deal, and that's where the, you know, the real thing is. So.
Blue Rampage says, did Lita really help you train before your match with Trish at WrestleMania?
Yeah, she did. She did help me a little bit out.
But mostly Trish trained you, correct?
No, Trish didn't train me.
No?
Uh-uh. I trained a lot with Fit Finley and Dean Malenko and Ricky Steamboat.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I had some really good trainers.
Yes, you did.
So fortunate. I mean, the cool thing for me was I was basically learning while having matches with Victoria on the road, live, you know, shows, which is, I mean, just, I was so lucky. The only reason why I was even able to do it was because Lita, you know, was injured, Trish was injured, so they didn't have anybody left to, you know, wrestle Victoria. So I was wrestling, and I learned so much, you know, in those. In that time on the road, and I mean, every day I was trying to improve and see, you know, what I could do better, what I can change, what I could, you know, come in and learn more of, you know.
Right. Are you there still? Okay. Okay. Andy in the chat room, he wants you to settle this rumor that's been going around for a long time, and I know the truth. There was a rumor that Randy Orton defecated in a bag. I called you a dirty name.
Say that again.
There was a rumor that Randy Orton defecated in your bag, in your gym bag, and called you
not
a dirty name.
Not my gym bag.
Right.
My gym bag.
No, but this did happen. Am I correct?
I don't think he. No, not in the gym bag. I think it was like tanning or something. It was never. He never defecated in it.
Okay. Yeah, I heard it was lotion or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
it was a joke.
It was never like. I'm back.
Okay, I think we got you back now. You're
kind of
coming in and out there.
I'm sorry.
But, yeah, basically it was lotion and it was somebody else. It wasn't Christy.
Yeah, it wasn't me. It was someone else.
What was going through your head when you jumped off the top rope and gave Melina the doomsday
oh
device?
Oh, my God. Only the most, like, highlight moment of my career. That was fan-freaking-tastic. I was, if you notice, I don't even have, like, an angry, like, I'm going to get you smile on my face. I'm just, like, pure joy. Like, smile spread across my face. So happy to do it.
Like, wee.
Yes. Like, that was the highlight of my career. Seriously.
That's excellent. D.W. King says, did Vince ever seriously hit on you?
Did he? I don't think so. No. I mean, I really kind of ignored all that shenanigans,
right.
You know.
Christy, you're a great politician. You'll go a long way in our business.
Please tell us about the TNA Knockouts DVD that's coming out.
Oh, my gosh. It's so hot because that's basically what I've been shooting all week. With the girls, and we've been doing all. Everybody basically had like their own creative input on what, you know, fitted their style and what was very them. And the really cool thing about being part of TNA is my real personality. What I really want to show the fans is I'm able to give that to them. And so this week I got to do so much stuff that I just was so happy to do, like. Posing on this custom chopper that was just amazing, and I got to throw some fire, and then I got to do some like really sexy shots. I mean, I just such a wide arrangement of, you know, pictures I got to shoot for it. So
nice.
I'm excited for it to come out.
Do you know when that's going to be or around?
I'm not sure. I think they had a couple last minute stuff they wanted to throw on there, so I definitely when I know the date, everybody will know. that I know all the girls have been shooting so much this week, and you know they're all so different, and it's gonna be really great.
One last question before we get out of here. We're running out of time, but Ultraviolence wants to know, have you had any ribs played on you?
You know what? I have somehow managed to squeak by all the ribs. I've known about all of them. I'm always, like, there when they happen, but I've never been on the other end of it. I think just because I don't know why. I've always had fun being part of it. I just haven't been the actual ribby.
Well, you better hope that the boys in the back don't hear this interview.
I really do hope, because otherwise they're going to go, oh, I've got to get Christy.
You'll be the next target. Christy, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And
best of luck to you.
Best of
Thank
luck,
you,
definitely.
Guys. I really appreciate it.
And we'll be watching you every week on TNA. Don't forget, guys, it comes on every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern, and, of course, Global Impact.
Global Impact Wednesday.
Global Impact, available on the Internet.
Plug your website.
Yes, and we also have our big Slammiversary coming up June 18th. That's our big show. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, we got to check that out.
Absolutely. Christy, it's been an honor, and I want to thank you once again for being on the program, and we'll talk to you soon.
Cool, thanks, guys.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Christy Hemme, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. Oh, wow. It was kind of hard to hear for some of that. But,
yeah, it was, I don't know, some interference.
Yeah, but
maybe it's the wind blowing in Florida. It's hurricanes. Never mind.
Could be something like that. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in this week. We are going to have some big guests for you next week. Of course, check out WrestlingWeekly.com every day. Find out who the guests are going to be for next week. Don't forget to check out ObsessedWithWrestling.com for all your wrestling needs. Also, LesThatcher.com every day. Check it out. Good stuff over there.
And EPWT.com. I'm headed to Vegas next week.
For Cauliflower Alley.
Cauliflower Alley, right.
Yes.
Yes.
Are you going to gamble?
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm going to get on a plane.
I'm going to send you a dollar, and I want you to go to the nickel slot machines and keep playing until it's all gone.
Oh, I can go to pennies, man, and get more out of it.
And then come back with my winnings.
bring a truck to bring your winnings back, right?
Yeah, so
I got you, man.
We'll see you guys next week, and keep on listening, and keep on watching wrestling, guys.
We're out of here.
Bye-bye.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, money, money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. Ching, bling, bling. Tata, you ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling. Cutting pockets. Take the dollar, dollar. Can a damn soul stop it? Here comes the new kid on the block. Hold on, your bets. Here's where the buck stops. See, first of all, I'm stepping out on my own. About time I elevated to quit my own throne. Success in my blood, call it homegrown. Poor Greek and testosterone. Power and money got me crazy cocky. No longer need you, Poppy. I know you're mad because you can't stop me. And if you wonder how this player done scooped your honey, I think she smell my cologne. It's called brand new money. Making major moves, man, ain't a damn thing funny. Been hood rats to Playboy bunnies. They see the. They see it, they see it. They want
money.
I'm global dollar dollar and roll without pity. Fresh and looking spiffy. Don't like clean money. I want my wrist to be filthy. Cost with every time and fun. I can't cut till I'm 60. So what am I supposed to do? Roll it through. Set it back in the pocket. Sell them second hole in two. Ching, ching, bling, bling. Catching cash and lump. It's a promo. Get a jacket. I'm selling them out my trunk. Whenever, whatever it takes to shake down a dollar. Also in that direction. Wait a minute. Holla, holla. All wants to know where they go. Where they went. In a Mexican March on Monday. Smelling just like a mint. Here's where the buck stops. See, first of all, I'm stepping out on my own. About time I elevate.